Let me pray as we begin. Almighty God, we thank you for this time of Christmas, a time to reflect and remember your goodness to us in sending Jesus. Please help us to hear it fresh again this morning, that we would know of your goodness and love, that we would know of your power and faithfulness, and that we would recommit again to trusting you and to living for you, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, do you ever let the over-familiar stop you from seeing what's really important in front of you? Does it kind of give you a glazed over look? You get a bit blasé about what's going on because you've seen it before, you've heard it before, you know what it's all about. Roger Federer, Rafa Nadal, Novak Djokovic, when was the last time one of them lost a Grand Slam? Have you ever heard yourself going, oh, it was just one of those three again. For goodness sakes, when can somebody new come along? What about Steve Smith making another 100? Do you ever hear yourself saying that? This guy, we've just seen so much of him, we're a bit over it. Can the over-familiar stop you seeing something amazing going on? What an era of tennis we have just lived through and are still living through. What a once-in-a-century player that Steve Smith might turn out to be. And yet the over-familiar can kind of blind us to the amazingness of what's around us. I think Christmas, passages like what's before us today, can be a bit like that, can't they? We've heard this story before. We know what happens. We know the details. And so we can get a bit blasé, clouded over, and miss the amazingness of what is going on. So, it's not going to be a long sermon today. Obviously, we're already well into the morning. But I want us just to slow down and think about the amazingness of this news in looking at three of the names. Son of David, Jesus, and Emmanuel. The three names that are mentioned in this passage. So first, have a think with me about the Son of David. Now, remember that Joseph, he actually is a fairly underrated Christmas character, isn't he? He's a fantastic man. I think we could spend a great deal more time thinking about Joseph. And in fact, George did that at the earlier service. So if you're interested to listen online, you can do that. But Joseph is this faithful and righteous man. He loved God. And actually we see in this story, he really loved Mary, didn't he? There's a gentleness and faithfulness that is just so beautiful from Joseph in this story. But consider what's happening for him. He's just been told by Mary he's engaged to be, and that's a super strong engagement. We don't quite understand just how unbreakable this engagement was for us in this age. But back then, it was like Mary was his wife, except they hadn't come to be together yet. And Joseph hears that this Mary is pregnant. There's a problem, isn't there? Because he knows the baby is not his. He knows the baby is not his. And so he sets a very gentle but faithful to God's law kind of way forward. He resolves to call off the engagement, to separate from Mary, but quietly, to do it quietly, so that she doesn't lose her life. Joseph's actions here are both faithful to God and very loving of Mary. But there's another tension going on here underneath. You may not know it unless you've just read the earlier part of Matthew, which is all the genealogy, all the names of the generations, all the way from Adam through to Jesus. And you see, one of the issues is that the Saviour, the Messiah, the King to come, was to come from the line of David. God had promised it. And we saw it a few weeks ago, actually, when we looked at Isaiah 11, that this stump from the root of Jesse, that was David's father, somebody from this family line was coming. And actually, the promise goes all the way back to 2 Samuel 7, when David was told, somebody from your family will be king forever and ever. King forever and ever. And so there's this tension going on in the story today. How is God's promises going to work out for this baby? How is this baby going to be a son of David? You see, actually, we're told, of course, that Joseph is told in this dream, this supernatural dream, that the baby within Mary is not because of unfaithfulness on her part, but because of the Holy Spirit. God has come, and this baby is from God. And so you can marry her, Joseph. You can marry her. And he wakes up and he obeys, doesn't he? He obeys, though it cost him. It cost him in a multitude of ways, but one is probably that this baby people would have known that there was something not quite right about this baby's story, the timing of it and so on. It cost him as well because he didn't unite and enjoy marriage in the same way that you're supposed to until after this baby was born. It cost Joseph to take Mary as his wife, but he obeys. And most importantly for us as we think about this, he names Jesus, Jesus. He names him. And in naming him, he says, "This is my son. This is my son, adopted, if you like." You see, God's story has always been about adoption. He's adopting us into his family through the Lord Jesus. And here we see in Jesus' story, he is adopted into this family of David. He becomes a son of David. Friends, don't let Christmas become so familiar that you forget to see that God is a promise-keeping God. That he says, this one will be a son of David, and so Jesus is a son of David. Second name, Jesus. It's a name we know pretty well here, isn't it? Of course we do. Jesus is the Greek version of Joshua. You may not know what Joshua means, but we're told in multiple places it means the Lord, Yahweh, saves. The Lord saves. So Jesus' name itself, his purpose and his mission is right there in his name. The Lord saves. But what's he saving us from? Well, that's told to us too, isn't it? As the angel announces, he will be called Jesus, because he will save his people from their sin. We know our need for saving from our own sin, don't we? We feel it this morning of the need for everyone everywhere to be saved from sin. We feel that. And Jesus is the one who does it. Now, sometimes I think we picture God as a reluctant saviour. Do you ever feel like you kind of have to twist his arm to get him to save you, to get him to forgive you? Do you ever feel like you've kind of got to jump? Yes, you say sorry, but you also kind of have to make it good with him somehow so that he would forgive you. Do you think of God as a reluctant forgiver? Because this story of Christmas should remind us again that he's not. Whose idea was it to send Jesus? The one who was going to save us from our sin. It's God's idea, isn't it? He does it freely. He does it without any help or intervention from any person. Mary obviously played an important role, but God initiated this plan. He initiates it freely, without human effort, without his arm being twisted, because God is a generous forgiver. God is the one who delights to save his people freely, miraculously, willingly, generously. And he does it through this baby, Jesus. Friends, don't let Christmas become so familiar that you don't see the amazing news that Jesus is God's saving plan for you and me. And the third thing, the third name, Emmanuel. We've sung it a couple of times already through the different songs. This name, Emmanuel, which means God is with us. God is with us. No, Jesus actually wasn't called Emmanuel in the sense you keep reading through the gospel. Nobody comes up to him and says, hey, Emmanuel. They do call him Son of David and they do call him Jesus and they call him Lord. Some call him Messiah. He calls himself Son of Man, but Emmanuel is not one that you'll find going forward. And yet this is an old promise from God. A promise that this baby, when he comes, would be the Emmanuel. God with us. You know, that's so unique. We've heard it before. It can wash over us and we miss it, but this is so unique. Consider, there are so many other worldviews out there, and pretty much all of them, not quite all, but so many of them have this view in mind. God is at the top of the mountain, and people are all the way down the bottom of the mountain trying to figure out, how do we get to God? How do we get up there? But Christianity is so different to this, because God himself comes down to the people. And God says, I will make the way for you. God says, I will show you what I am like. God says, I will show you how you can know me. And he does it in this baby we celebrate at Christmas time. Jesus, God with us. Friends, don't let Christmas become such a familiar story to you that you miss this amazing news that God has come to live with us. Is the over-familiar a danger at Christmas? Yes, it is. But do we have reason to celebrate at Christmas? Reason for great joy? Reason for hope for our world? Yes, we do. Because God is a promise-keeping God. Because Jesus has come to save us from sin. Because in Jesus, God has come to dwell with us. Amen.